Greetings, everybody. Thank you so much for slotting into our Sunday service and allowing me to serve you with the good news of Jesus Christ. Today I'm going to be preaching from 2 Peter chapter 1, and we're going to talk about the new holy life that God has given us, wherein God has fulfilled the promises that He has for us in giving us a life that is controlled by the Holy Spirit, whereby who He is manifests in us. As all of you know, we've come to the end of our trip to the United States, and I think by the time you listen to this, we would be at the airport ready to board a flight back to South Africa. We've had a wonderful time in the United States, preaching at, I think, 18 or 19 different places in America and just sharing the good news of Jesus Christ to so many people. It was so great to see you at the different places that we've ministered, especially at the conference where many of you came out to just fellowship and talk about the good news of Jesus, listen to messages and minister to one another. It was an outstanding time that Ilian and I've had in the U.S. And we want to thank you for that. It is great to have just met with all of you, shared the gospel with you, fellowshiped with you, just being able to shake your hand, hug you, and just see the people that are truly happy about the gospel of grace, the message of the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and excited about seeing this growing through many churches and unto many homes all over the United States. Well, let us just pray together as we then start our service. Father, I want to thank you that I can sit here today and make this message and that your gospel can go forth. I thank you that your holiness and your righteousness and your fruit is what you've given us freely, and that this can manifest in our lives, bring forth a brand new life in us. Thank you that you speak powerfully through me today, encouraging the church, encouraging your people, reminding them of what you have freely given them in Jesus. Amen and amen. Well, as I've said, we're going to be reading from 2 Peter chapter 1. This morning, as I was doing my devotional, I read through 2 Peter chapter 1. I just saw a lot of beauty in this chapter, a lot of the fulfilled promises that God has come to give us, which then accumulates unto a brand new life that we can live in this world because we've escaped the corruption that is in this world through lust. Now, I want to just read from verse 1. It says, Simon Peter, a servant and apostle of Jesus Christ, to them that have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, he's writing to people here and he's saying to them that they have obtained like precious faith through the righteousness of God and our Savior Jesus Christ. So obtaining like precious faith simply means that we have obtained the faithfulness of God towards us through what God has accomplished in Jesus Christ, in showing His faithfulness towards man in fulfilling what He's promised in bringing life and freedom to people. You remember that Adam and Eve, after they have sinned, God has already promised that yes, the snake will bruise the heel of the one that is to come, but that the snake's head will be crushed by our Lord Jesus. And that promise has been fulfilled, and what we have now obtained is the like precious faithfulness that has now come to all people. I want to just explain that just a little bit. When God expresses His faithfulness to us, He expresses His faithfulness in that He gave Jesus as the solution for the problem of death that is over those unto whom the disobedience or the death that came through Adam has reached. That means the faithfulness of God is now not only towards the Jewish people to whom the law was given, but the faithfulness of God has now been redefined in being towards those who have contracted death through the disobedience of Adam. So what qualifies you for the goodness of God is the condition of death that you are in. In the same way as what I've said many times in my trip here in the United States, what qualifies you to go to the doctor and what qualifies you to be admitted into the hospital is sickness. So if you are sick, if you've got a problem, if you've got a heart problem, if you've got a lung problem, if you've got a problem with diabetes and so forth, you qualify to be treated In the very same way, what qualifies you to be treated by the Lord or for God to bring forth the resurrected Christ for you is if you don't have eternal life. So eternal life is a gift to whom? A gift unto those who don't have it. So God has come and He has brought something very precious to all of us. And what He has given unto us and what we've obtained is the faithfulness of God as a gift unto us. When the Bible talks about a precious faith, we should not just think of faith along the lines of how strong our persuasion is or our heart how much effort we put in to believe something. When we think of faith, then the Greek meaning of faith is also and includes faithfulness, dedication. It talks about a loyalty or the pleading of an allegiance to someone. And this is what we have now seen here. It says, I'm Simon Peter, I'm a servant and an apostle of Jesus Christ to them who have obtained like precious faith with us through the righteousness of God and of our Savior Jesus Christ. Now, what he's simply saying is I'm bringing good news to all people, people unto whom God has come to bring a service. And then obviously it's taken further. It says unto whom, and it's unto the people that have now received this, make use of this. And as God then brings forth His faithfulness towards us, we from our side have a faithfulness towards the faithfulness of God. And that is that we faithfully trust that God's faithfulness will fully accomplish what it has been set forth to do in this earth. Now, so many times when it comes to faithfulness, we think of the works of the law. When we think of the fear of the Lord, when we think of respect for God, when we think of faithfulness towards God, we cannot lose Psalm 33:18 out of sight. Psalm 33:18 clearly says that those who fear the Lord are those who hope in His unfailing love. Hope means to have a confidence in His unfailing love, expecting His unfailing love to accomplish what it has been set forth to do. So I want to say to you that Peter starts out here and he says to people, listen, I'm writing to you and what you've obtained is a place where the faithfulness of God brings forth the life that God has for you in you. And all that we then do is patiently wait upon the full manifestation of what God has promised as we already experience the first effects of God giving a brand new life. And what we are now about to read here is Peter defining what we've received in Christ and that we would think upon that, ponder upon that, and then boldly know that that is the promises that we have received, talking about certain fruit. Now, I want to read verse 2. It says, grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Grace and peace be multiplied unto you. When we talk about the grace and peace being multiplied, we're talking about the fulfilling of God's promises in an increasing manner in our life. Grace being multiplied, grace defined as the power by which God brings forth the fulfillment of His promises in our lives. We need to understand, if we're going to read in Timothy, that God, before the world began, has graced us and decided that by His grace, we will have the fullness of who He is manifest in us bodily. It will be by His grace. Grace is therefore the power by which God fulfills His promises in our lives. Now it says, your grace and peace be multiplied unto you through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. So what he's saying is, as we can acknowledge what God has acknowledged. Now, that word knowledge there would also mean acknowledgement. So, as we see what God knows and we acknowledge what God acknowledged and brought forth in Jesus, we find that the fruit of God grows in our lives in an increasing manner. So if you are not seeing fruit in your life, what you need to know is what you freely received in Christ. You should not forget what God has freely given you. You should know and be reminded of what God has freely given you in Christ and how God fulfills His promise towards us and has given us, fulfilled His promises, and how we've seen the inauguration of the fulfilled promises in our lives. Now, I don't want this to sound too technical. Let's go to the next verse. It says, this grace and peace and the multiplication of grace and peace is then defined in verse 3 as follow. According as His divine power has given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of Him that has called us to glory and virtue. Now, the NIV says it a little bit different. Let me read verse 3 in the NIV there. It says, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life through our knowledge of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. So he says here that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. So it is not expected by God that we should live a holy and a godly life by our own power or by our own ability. It says here, His divine power, which is defined as His grace. And what His grace does is it brings forth resurrection life to us right now in this world. So, isn't that a beautiful thing? If you think of your life and you think of evil things that you might be doing, or things in your life that you feel is not supposed to be there, fears, anxieties, hatred, maybe gossip or bitterness, unforgiveness, whatever it could be. If you think of it in your life and you think of the amount of effort that you might have used to try and get rid of that, I've got good news for you. The scripture here says that His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. And this is through the knowledge or the acknowledgement of Him who has called us by His own glory and goodness. Now I want to explain that. He says that the holy life that we can expect and that He has promised us has now been given unto us, and that that manifests through His divine power, or actually His godly power, or we can put it this way in its context, His ability to make us divine, to make us godly. It has been given to us in that way through our knowledge of Him. In other words, the more you know about God, the more you know about what He has given you, the more you know about the free gift that He has given you, the more you will see the power of His life manifest in you. He says here that He has called us by His own glory and goodness. In other words, we are called unto a new and holy life by His own glory. Now we need to understand that glory talks about what God specializes at. God specializes in forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. I've discussed this several times in our meetings, which I've uploaded to our channel in YouTube and also that I've shared on Facebook for those who follow on Facebook, that if you go and read in Exodus 34 verse 6, when Moses and God had a face-to-face meeting, He said unto Moses, you know, I'm the Lord God. I'm merciful and gracious, long-suffering, abundant in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands. This appearing was on account of Moses asking God to show him His glory. And then God said, okay, I will let all My goodness pass before you. This glory is basically then the power, or let me put it this way, if you think of God as the king, we would think of the glory of our king. Now, if you think of the glory of a king, you are thinking of the way he rules his kingdom. That is his glory. So the glory of God is the rulership or the power by which he rules and manifests what he's promised to his people. It's what makes him separate from all the other kings. The glory of our God is his goodness, which is the power by which he forgives iniquity, transgression, and sin, and brings forth a life free from the control of what destroys and kills people. That is his glory. The glory, when God glorifies people, he basically also gives them authority to rule to a certain degree. Now, when we think of God's glory here, he's called us by his own glory and goodness, means that he has called us unto a brand new life by the power through which he rules over what destroys your life. And the power of by which he rules is the power whereby he is good to you. Now let's read it again. It says, his divine power, which is the power of the resurrection, has given unto us everything we need for a godly life. So what do you need for a godly life? You need God's divine power. What is his divine power? It's the power to bring forth new creation. How can you ever by your own power bring forth new creation? You cannot make yourself new. It's absolutely impossible. You cannot bring forth new creation unto yourself. No, what you need to have a godly life is the power by which God rules, and that is divine power. You don't have divine power. None of us has divine power. All of us only has the power of mortal man, and the power of mortal man can never attain unto a godly life or a godlike life. We need to understand that. The Bible says that man carried the image of the earth, an earthy image, an earth-like image. And that is what we were carrying. But now we find that Jesus carries as a human the image of the heavenly. And by his power and his godliness, he's now offered us a godly life through the acknowledgement of him who was called us unto this holy life by his own power and rulership through his own goodness, whereby he's good unto us and gives us that new life. Isn't that beautiful? So a good holy life is what is promised unto us. It says, through these he has given unto us very great and precious promises. Now, I've always read that verse that through his godliness and through his rulership, he has made great promises unto us. But as I was reading through that, I think my view on that has now changed a little bit. I don't think he's saying that he's now promised us through what Jesus Christ has done. What he's saying is that he's now given unto us that which was promised. In other words, we're talking about fulfilled promises. We can also read it this way, that through the power and the glory of Jesus has been fulfilled unto us promises that he has made, that through these fulfilled promises we might participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption in the world caused by evil desires. So we can see here there is a sense of fulfilled promises, which is that we have now escaped the corruption that is in this world through evil desire. Now, the corruption that's in this world through evil desire or through lust, I believe, refers to the lust that was in Adam, or the desire that was in Adam. And then through that desire, which was to be like God by your own ability, corruption entered this world. But now, since Jesus was raised from the dead, an incorruption has now entered into this world. And the glory of incorruption, as it has entered this world, and through that incorruption that has now come into this world, we find the goodness of God expressed to those who are now standing under God's faithfulness towards them. We have now, therefore, also escaped the fruit of the flesh, and we have now been blessed with a holy life through what God has done in Jesus. It says here, looking at what God has given unto us, let us read verse 4. It says, through these has been given unto us very great and precious promises. Through the fact, through the glory of God, through everything that has been given unto us for a holy and glorious life in this earth, and I want to read verse 3 here. It says, He has given, His divine power has given us everything we need for a godly life. Through everything that His powerful life and godliness has given unto us, we can now participate in the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that's in this world through what came through Adam. For this very reason, make every effort to add to your faith goodness, and to goodness, knowledge, and to knowledge, self-control, and to self-control, perseverance, and to perseverance, godliness, and to godliness, mutual affection, and to mutual affection, love. For if you possess these qualities in increasing measure, in other words, as grace multiplies in your life because you know more and more about what God has freely given you, your knowledge on what was given unto you increases. He says, if these things are in you, it says, but if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive in your knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I'm basically going to end here and just wrap this all up. What he's saying is, listen, God has promised you things. And what He's promised you, He has now given in Jesus. And what you now can add to your faith, in other words, what you can add to the faithfulness that God has produced or shown towards you and your allegiance to Him, you can see that part of the package, what is included into this divine nature, is the qualities of goodness, knowledge, self-control, perseverance, godliness, mutual affection, and love. These are things that God has given you. This is what you can expect from what has happened in Jesus. Now, remember, he was saying in verse 1, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now, he's talking about having knowledge about the Lord. And what Peter is doing is expanding the knowledge of what God has done for these people. And what he said to them is, Jesus died and he was raised and he is Lord. And now he's expanding their knowledge. What's included into his lordship is that he rules over all forms of death in your life. And what you now can add to knowing that Jesus was raised is self-control. In other words, you're not controlled by the world anymore. You are now controlled by the Spirit. Hallelujah. What is added to that is things like mutual affection. You can have an affection and a love for people. He goes on and he says that you can have knowledge of who God is, knowledge of who you are. You can have perseverance. You can know that this, I want to tell you that this power of the resurrection includes perseverance. It gives you hope. It helps you in the difficult times in this world as you behold what Christ has done. It's like adding to the package. It's basically seeing that what God has, it's unwrapping more of the fullness of what God has given us for this world in the here and in the now. Now listen to what verse 8 says here. For if you possess these qualities in an increasing measure, they will keep you from being ineffective and unproductive. So it says that God has even promised you that you can be productive. And he brings it forth in you. Verse 9. But whosoever does not have them is short-sighted and blind and forgot that he was cleansed from his past sins. So can you see what Peter is doing here? He's simply saying that if you don't have this fruit in you, it's because you forget what God has done for you. And he's now reminding them of what God has done for them. Now I want to read one verse that I'm going to end off with. And this is in I hope I can find it now. Ezekiel 36, talking about God cleansing us. Whenever we read about these good fruit, we should know that the good fruit is something that God offers and promises us by him cleansing us. And I'm ending off with this. It says, then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and you shall be clean from all your filthiness. And from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. And I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my ways, and you shall keep my judgments and do them. Isn't that powerful? It talks about God cleansing us. And this is what Peter is talking about. He says, we've now obtained the fulfilled promises, where what God has promised, which is a holy life unto us, he fulfills and brings to us. Isn't that exciting? The things that we've been bound unto, we can now be free from by God fulfilling his promise, by the power of divinity coming unto us, making us divine and holy. Hallelujah. Whatever bondage there would be in your life, if you are struggling with fearing and anxiety, if you are struggling with the abuse of alcohol, if you are using alcohol as a crutch to deal with stress and fear, the Lord says that through his love and his goodness, knowing his mercy and grace, you can add unto the package of what God has given unto you, which is basically focused on the resurrection. You can add to that package freedom from having alcohol as a crutch. You can be free from drugs. You can be free from the fears that this world is governed by. Why? Because it is what God gives unto you. It is not what he will give unto you. It says that through these fulfilled promises, unto us has been given fulfilled promises that we can now be free. Now it says, as you increase in your knowledge, as the fruit is in an increasing manner in you. How? Through the increase acknowledgement of what is freely given unto you. Unpacking the whole package of what has been freely given to you in Jesus. He says, you will not be ineffective in your work in this earth. Hallelujah. How are we effective as Christians in this world? By receiving what is given unto us for free. Having a changed life as a gift unto us. And so, as our lives are new by what he has given us, it's got a great effect on the people in this earth. Amen and amen. Well, thank you that I could bless you with this message today. I would like to just pray for you. Father, thank you that I can stretch forth my hands to people that are watching. I thank you, Lord, that your grace, your power makes everything new, and that everyone that watches me is strengthened in their knowledge on how high, how wide, how deep, and how long your love is in giving them a brand new life, walking in the true victory that you have come to give us. Amen and amen. Thank you so much for watching, and then we will chat again next Sunday. God bless.